Okay, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10, let's look at verse number 33. Here in this passage of Scripture, of course, we have the story of the Samaritan who met a man who had been beaten by thieves. And of course, an explanation of the phrase of love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord answers the question, well, who is our neighbor? And verse 30, and Jesus answering, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that day, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Of course, one of the great issues in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was that the religious crowd was very upset that he was interested in the souls of men. And they did not like the fact that he was winning, he was winning publicans and sinners, and people were being saved. And here, of course, we have a similar situation, but really, in this particular case, we have a picture of the religious people, and then we have a picture of Jesus. And this man, obviously a Jew, went from Jerusalem to Jericho. We don't know that he was a Jew, but he probably was. And he was beaten by thieves, and he was wounded. He was left half dead. The Bible tells us that there's a religious man that came by, a priest, in fact. And when he saw him, he made sure he went to the other side of the road so he could be relieved of the obligation of taking care of this person. And the Bible says, likewise, a Levite came that way. And I'm not sure how this was, but the Levite, he might have got a little bit closer, and he got a little bit shocked by this. He saw him, and boy, he immediately went to the other side of the road, so he wouldn't have to take care of this man who was left for dead and needing help. But of course, the Samaritan, the half-breed Jew, those that were rejected by the Jews, and the Jews would have nothing to do with them. A certain Samaritan comes, and when he sees him, he doesn't go to the other side of the road. In fact, when he sees him, the Bible says he had compassion on him. Of course, who does this man represent? Well, it represents people with needs. But of course, more than anything, it represents you and I, represents sinners. It represents people on their way to hell. The greatest need that anybody has is their soul to be saved. And priest and the Levite, who certainly their job was to represent God to people and people to God, they certainly didn't even do their duty. And really, the real issue was obviously their relationship with God, but also the reality of what was going on in their heart. They did not have compassion. There's a great soul winner of last century, died in 1945, a great Robert, I believe his first name was Robert Scarborough. In fact, he was the chairman of Southwestern Baptist Seminary, the chair of evangelism for 30 years. And they asked him one time, what makes you such a great indefatigable soul winner? He says, I have never lost my tears for the unsaved. At any moment, he said, any day of my life, I could weep over lost souls. And really, we see that same picture in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that the Lord was interested in souls, the reason that Christ was a soul winner, of course, it has to do with why he went to the cross, but it talks about the fact that he had compassion. Now, I just wonder, how many of us would be like the Levite and the priest? And I wonder how many young people right here, you know, young people, right here in our church, how many go to Maquonago Baptist Academy, how many of you, when you see a lost soul, have compassion? Have compassion on the souls of men. Now, as we look at the scriptures, we see that as a great characteristic of the Savior and of God. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Of course, we have the prodigal story of the prodigal son. And, of course, this is, again, a parable. And it's answer to the fact that the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious people, they did not like the fact that the publicans and the sinners came to hear Jesus Christ. And, of course, he told the parable. And the third part of the parable was the prodigal son. And, of course, we won't read the whole thing, but verse 15, he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Here's the one that took his inheritance, demanded his inheritance, was in rebellion against his father, went his own way, didn't want to have anything to do with his father. He finally comes to the place after he had wasted his substance, the hard-earned money of his father on sin and women and everything else, and was living with the pigs and was probably smelled like the pigs, he comes home. And the Bible says, verse 20, and when he arose, he came to the father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. His father saw him and had compassion. Now you can think of all the possibilities. And certainly the possibilities are found in the elder son. The possibility of bitterness and unforgiveness and all the whole list. But the thing that sticks out here is, how did the father see his wayward son? It says he had compassion. Now, of course, the real issue is the message for you and I is, what do we see? You know, when we are out in the world, what do we see? The second question is, what do we feel? What is in our heart? In John 4, we have that great passage of Scripture when Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. And in John 4:31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You know, prayed him means, you know, they begged him. They said, you know, we went to town, we got your lunch. Why don't you, you know, what's so important about this woman? Why are you talking to this woman? Come on, let's have lunch. And of course, we see a huge contrast. You know, the disciples were thinking of lunch. They were thinking of this woman as interfering with their lunch, interfering with their, you know, their nice time together, Jesus and the disciples having lunch together. And they were bothered by that. And what did Jesus say? He saw her soul. Now think of the Levites and the priest. Now, when they went by that man, they didn't see a soul. I think they saw that person was going to be a bother to them. That person was going to interrupt their life. That person was going to get in the way of their schedule. That person was going to get in the way of, you know, maybe they'd have to get a pure Levitical purification because he might have some blood on him, right? And so then they'd have to get Levitically purified. And you just wonder all these things that, now you think about it, is on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Okay? So the priest either had just been in Jerusalem, or they were in Jericho on their way to Jerusalem. And of course, what were they doing in Jerusalem? They're going to the temple, weren't they? They were going to be all about their religious duties. But you know what? They missed the main point, didn't they? They missed the main point of their whole existence, was not to go through the perfunctory duties of the priest or the Levite, but their whole purpose of their life had to do with the souls of men. It's kind of interesting, you know, that oftentimes what keeps us from seeing souls, sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes it's busyness. Sometimes we're so busy with life that we don't even think about the people that we are going to talk to, or the people we are going to meet, or the people that are going to be across our path, or why God put them across our path. And of course, so we have that focus of, well, what do we see? But the other issue really is even bigger than that, and that is, and we are, you know, what do we feel? Do we feel compassion on lost souls? I think you could put it, obviously, the priest and the Levite, even as good religious people, they were just being selfish. They weren't really, maybe, they didn't mean to be selfish, right? They didn't mean to be all about themselves, but obviously they were. In fact, you could almost see some hard-heartedness in there, can't you? I mean, here's the priest, you know, he's looking down the road and he's, uh-oh, you know, and it's far enough down the road that he can pretend like he didn't see it, you know, and he crosses the road. Well, boy, that's certainly the height of hypocrisy, you know. He's got a hard heart, but he's pretending in his own heart they didn't see it. Now the Levite, he comes and he's almost there. Whoop, I better get to the other side of the road real fast here. He couldn't, maybe there's a gopher on the other side of the road he wanted to look at, you know. And so he would be free from having to minister to this person. Compassion. And we can be challenged by, I mean, what's the reality? Compassion and lost souls. Matthew 18. Of course, here is a parable about forgiveness, but I think that as we get to the word compassion, again, we have a picture of God the Father really hitting this right between the eyes. And, of course, Peter asked, how often shall I forgive my brother? And Jesus said, I say unto you, not until seven times, but 70 times seven. And he gives this parable, verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And of course, it's the parable about forgiveness, but it's a picture of God. And what is God's view of sinners? What is his thought to sinners? What is going on in his life? Compassion. And of course, we're glad that God has compassion on us. But the issue is, obviously, now someone is going to come to him who has a little debt. And of course, we know the parable. He said, no way, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to forgive your debt. I'm going to squeeze that penny out of you until the last bit. And of course, what did he lack? Compassion. And of course, we will turn to Matthew 9 and think about that. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Of course, he relates it to a bigger picture. The harvest truly is plenteous and laborers are few. But what do you think is the difference between seeing that the field is the world, or being content with maybe just someone that's close to us that they would get saved? Well, I think the difference is seen in the Lord, and the difference is compassion. You know, we tell the story of William Carey. William Carey was a shoe cobbler. And lived a very poverty-stricken life, you might say. But he was a brilliant man, loved to study, loved to read, was a linguist even at that stage of his life. And he read the adventures, I think it was the Adventures of Captain Cook. And you know, a lot of people read the Adventures of Captain Cook because Captain Cook had sailed the world and sailed the Indian and Pacific Oceans, and people had never heard of those places of the South Seas and the islands and all those multitudes of people, and learning about their strange customs and their strange cultures and cannibals and all of these things. And, you know, there's probably a great vast number of people who read the Adventures of Captain Cook. But there's one man who read the Adventures of Captain Cook that when he read that, he didn't read them for the adventure stories. He did not, well, put it this way, when he read them, the thing that he left was not the great sense of adventure that Captain Cook had, but as William Carey read those writings of Captain Cook, he began to be greatly burdened about the millions of souls of India and of China and of the South Sea Islands. The millions of the year of the world, and William Carey made a globe out of leather. He was a shoemaker, and make this globe out of leather. And on that globe, as I understand it correctly, he would make the globe, and what he saw was he saw millions of people. Millions of people. And in that sense, he was like the Lord. He had compassion on the multitudes. You know, many times we can be like all the other people who read the books about Captain Cook's adventures and be thrilled with the stories, have no moving of our heart about the souls of all those people. On the other hand, every day we are surrounded with souls. And we have to ask ourselves, okay, what's really going on in my heart? Am I really like the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there really a stirring in my heart in the same way that The Bible tells us that God the Father had compassion, and how the Lord Jesus had compassion. And it wasn't just, you know, whatever. There was a reality of his life. Compassion for souls. Perhaps it would be good for us to pray. Admit to God our lack of compassion. Admit to God that our heart is really kind of hard, like many of us, just like that that Levite and that priest. And we're going about our duties. And yet in reality, our heart is really, oh, so far from being Christian. So far from being Christ-like. Because we're missing the great ingredient, compassion for lost souls going to hell. Compassion for the multitudes all around us who've never heard. He was moved with compassion. We have to ask ourselves, when was the last time our heart was even moved with compassion over one soul? Nonetheless, the multitudes all around us and throughout the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy to us. And Lord, we almost expect your compassion for us. We almost take it for granted. And yet, Lord, we ought to be transformed by it. And Lord, as we just very simply look at this very simple truth, Lord, it is so obvious that the great thing that we need in order to be like the Lord Jesus is compassion, and it is so much of the time hardly even there. And Lord, I know it's true in my life. And Lord, many can be so worldly minded and so set on living their own life, they never even give a thought about the eternity, the destiny, the reality that souls are all about us. Lord, might even tonight we be honest with you and ask you that, Lord, that you would have mercy on us and that you might begin to work in our lives, that we, Lord, would have compassion for the lost all around us. And Lord, in your mercy, might you help us to even repent of the coldness of our own hearts. I pray you help young people who are living for themselves. Lord, help them to repent of their coldness, of their indifference. Help us, Lord, who are busy about life, even good things, and we really lack the compassion for souls. Might you stir our hearts, Lord. Do a work in our midst, I pray in Jesus' name.